الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Most respected elders and friends, once again we continue our discussion on the seerat, on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our aim and our objective is to inculcate in us the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will get the love and the muhabbat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And love has a potential to spur a person to be obedient. When a person has the love for Allah, he'll be obedient to Allah. When a person has love for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's discussion will be around the incident of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is the name of a well, and it is also a name of a place. The well is nearby that place, around 9 miles from Makkatul Mukarrama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a dream that he is in a state of ihram and is proceeding to Makkatul Mukarrama. And after having performed Umrah, shaving the hair of the head. The dream of a Nabi is true. The dream of a Nabi is revelation. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to this dream in the Quran Kareem. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ. When in Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dream that you have seen, we will make it true. And the dream is, you would definitely enter Masjid al-Haram in the state of aman and peace, and you would be shaving the hair of your heads. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a group of Sahaba, approximately 1500 of them, they went to Dhul Hulayfa, donned the ihram in Dhul Hulayfa, and they took their animals with them, which we refer to as hadis. In those days, when an animal happened to be slaughtered in the haram, they would put something around the neck of the animal that is called the qalada. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding the sensitivity of the issue, all the time in fights and disputes with the kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama, and now proceeding to Makkah Mukarrama, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one sahabi, Busr ibn Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as a spy to Makkatul Mukarrama to investigate what is the reaction of the kuffar of Makkah when they would hear that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intends coming to Makkah Mukarrama. After Dhul Hulayfa, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to a place called Ghadir-e-Ashtat. It was there that Busr ibn Safwan radiallahu ta'ala came and told Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kuffar of Makkah have heard you want to come to Makkah, and they have resolved that they are going to defend you, they are going to defend your coming into Makkah. They will not allow you to enter into Makkah. And in the meantime, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala had already prepared an army, a group of people, and he has gone to a place called Humaym to meet and confront Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard of this, he changed direction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intention was not to go into war. There was no confrontation. And that is why when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba left Madinah to Munawwara, they did not go with the weapons of war. They took basic weapons that a traveler needed for his journey. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take, Sahaba did not take weapons of war. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intention was not of war, so he did not want to make a confrontation with the army of Khalid ibn Walid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed direction until when he came to Hudaybiyah. In Hudaybiyah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now wanted to change direction from there, enter into Makkah, as opposed to the previous route that he was traveling from. But the animal, the camel that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding on, refused to cooperate and go in the direction of Makkah. They turned the direction of the animal quite a few times. The animal sat down and they kept on making it go toward the direction of Makkah, but it would refuse to cooperate. So people were saying, Khalatil Qaswa, Khalatil Qaswa. Qaswa referring to the camel of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's gone disobedient. It's gone stubborn. It's not cooperating. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Ma khalatil qaswa. This camel qaswa is not non-cooperative. What it is doing is with the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah does not want it to go, does not want us to go to Makkatul Mukarramah. That's the point Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that if the kuffar of Makkah have to make any request to me, in which I could uphold the respect and the sanctity of the Haram Sharif, I will do so. The kuffar of Makkah, they were the tribe of Banu Khuzaimah. They were alliances with the Muslims. So the leader of the tribe, Budail ibn Waraqa, he came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the kuffar of Makkah. They have gathered at a particular place. They have also brought milk producing camels with them so that they could stay there for a long period of time, and the intention is never to allow you into Makkah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told to Budail ibn Waraqa, would you not go and speak to Kuffar of Makkah and tell to them, our intention is not of war, our intention is purely, we just want to make Umrah. The Kaaba Sharif is the house of Allah, it's open for everyone, doesn't belong to anyone, and we simply want to come and make Umrah, make Tawaf of the Kaaba and go away. We have no other intention. Budail ibn Waraqa go then talk to Kuffar of Makkah and told to them, that allow Muhammad and his companions to come. They only want to make Umrah and they want to go away. Why you want to stop them and why you want to enter into a confrontation with them? So they responded and said, you are talking nonsense. We will do what we have to do. We are not going to allow Muhammad and his companions to enter into Makkah Mukarramah. One can understand the background they are coming from. Defeat in Badr. Confrontation in Uhud. Humiliating, shocking defeat in Ahzab. And now, in the face of all that, Muhammad got the courage just to walk into Makkah and make Tawaf? How is that going to happen? So, they refused. Then, there was one person by the name of Urwa ibn Mas'ud. He was also among the leaders of the Kuffar of Makkah. He told to them, addressed them, What do people think about me? They say, that we trust you. We have all our respect and honor for you. So he told to them, if that's the case, would you all allow me to represent you all to go and talk to Muhammad? So they permitted him, they told him to go. Urwa ibn Mas'ud goes and meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and had a discussion, a dialogue with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see any person? Did you see any person killing his own nation? Implying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is in a position to kill his own nation. And that he mentioned is simply implying that the Quraysh also got very, very weak. They got no strength to defend themselves. So did you see any person killing his nation? And he mentioned one more statement that really angered Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu by nature was a very tolerant person. Very seldom Abu Bakr Siddiq would get angry. But this was one statement that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu got very, very angry. And the response of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu on this statement is very thought-provoking. Almost close to vulgar, swearing the kuffar of Makkah in love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Urwa ibn Mas'ud told to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, you see all these people around you here? They all are outsiders. They all are foreigners. We are part of you. We are from your nation. We are a part of, we are of one a people. And these people around you that followed you, something will happen, they will all abandon you and they'll go away. Abu Bakr Siddiq could not tolerate this statement. And he condemned Urwa ibn Mas'ud with the worst of languages that anybody could ever hear. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's this person? He said, this is Abu Bakr. He realized, if Abu Bakr would not have made, if he did not make any ihsan on me, because Abu Bakr Siddiq was a person who used to make ihsan and favors to many, many people. The whole of Makkah were known about this. Did Abu Bakr Siddiq helping this person, helping that person, helping this person, helping that person. In fact, his help and assistance is referred to in the Quran Kareem, in Wallayli Idha Yakhsha. So he told that if he would not have assisted me, I would have responded to what he has said. He contained himself. Now while Urwa ibn Mas'ud is talking to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's trying to be as casual as possible. And every now and then he's putting his fingers and his hands in the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now one Sahabi, Hazrat Mughira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was actually the nephew of Urwa ibn Mas'ud, but he was in full armor. When Urwa ibn Mas'ud is putting his hands in the Mubarak beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the Sahabi, he takes his spear and pushes the hand of Urwa away. Move your hand away. Move your hand from him. It doesn't behove you to freely and casually put your hand in the Mubarak beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasul of Allah, implying, is most sacred to us. His beard is sacred to us. And you, in a state of kufr, putting your hands in the Mubarak beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that does not behove you to do that. Again, Urwa ibn Mas'ud asked, who's this? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned to him, it's your nephew. He said, doesn't he know my favors on him? And it so happened that in the time of Jahiliyyah, before accepting Islam, the nephew, Mughira, went to Muqawqis with a group of people, and Muqawqif gave some gifts to them, and Mughira was being disadvantaged in that. So out of anger, now remember this was the time of Jahiliyyah, one can just understand the thinking, the temperament of the people of the Sahaba at the time of Jahiliyyah, what they were and what Allah the Rasul made them. So on the way, he made the people drink sharab, wine. After he got them drunk, he killed them. Just because he was disadvantaged. But look at him from where he was to becoming a great illustrious Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Urwa ibn Mas'ud went back to his people. He told to them that Muhammad just want to come and make tawaf of the Kaaba. Let him do that. permit him. They have no intention of war. And then he mentioned something very thought-provoking, his observation about the Sahaba. He says, I've been to the palaces of Persia, the kings of Persia, the kings of Rome. I've seen the royal courtiers, but I haven't seen anyone who were so ardent lovers of the leader as much as the Sahaba are to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had seen some amazing, amazing things. In fact, the saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming out, instead of it going on the floor, before it go on the floor, the Sahaba would pick it up. Where did any leader find such ardent followers like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found in the Sahaba? That was the extent of reverence and the amount of respect that they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be making wudu, and before the wudu water would fall on the floor, they would gather the wudu water. And if somebody didn't get the opportunity to get the wudu water of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anybody would take the wudu water and put it on them, they would go and touch it. At least I've got the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he mentioned this about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, implying that this is not a normal king of a world. This is a Rasul of Allah. It is different. The king of the world, they don't rule on hearts. The Rasul of Allah rule on hearts. Now, after he went, they were still deliberating. What's the next step? What to do? In the meantime, there were certain incidents that had taken place in Hudaybiyah. It was extremely hot. Shortage of water. Sahaba complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about shortage of water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, anybody got a container of water, any little water, bring it over. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought a container of water, little bit water, but remember 1,500 people where that water is going to be sufficient for everyone. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then put his Mubarak fingers inside that container. And the Sahabi, the narrator of the hadith says, I could actually see water gushing out from the Mubarak fingers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The water that was not sufficient one person now became sufficient for the entire group of 1,500 people. This was the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, some ulama on this incident, they have commented that the most purest of waters and the most blessed of waters is the water of Zamzam. But there's one water that was more blessed than the water of Zamzam. And that is this water that came out from the Mubarak fingers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate are those Sahaba who had the opportunity to drink that water. The water that came out from the Mubarak fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Kuffar of Makkah were still deliberating on what to do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then saw one of the African leaders. He was coming over to discuss with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the leader of the Africans in Makkah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, take all the hadi animals, the animals to be slaughtered in the haram, straighten it in a line. So that African leader that came from far, he saw all the animals. He recognized the animal to be slaughtered in the haram. He did not even come and speak to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went back and he told his people that these people haven't come here for war. If they would have come for war, why would they have animals for slaughtering in the haram? And the African tribe, they used to slaughter, they respect animals. So the people told him, they rebuked him, told him, you are talking nonsense. So he put a threat to them and he told to them, if you all don't go by my request and my advice, then our entire African nation here, from you people, we will cut ourselves away from you people. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Suhail coming. One of the representatives of the Kuffar of Makkah, on that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ. Taking a good omen, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Suhail. Suhail means something soft, easy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a good omen and said, see, Suhail is coming, now Allah will make things easy for us. Then the discussion went in which they've agreed to on the terms and conditions and the peace treaty then was drawn up. I'm not going to go into the details of that. Peace treaty was drawn up between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And some of the big points go away this year, don't come. Don't proceed to Makkah this year. Come the following year, and the following year you can only come for 3 days. Anyone from among us will have to come to Medina, you must return them. And anyone from you come to Makkah, we will not return them. It was a total one-sided thing. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed to all those conditions that was there. Just before signing the treaty, Suhail's son, Abu Jundul, tied in chains, he had accepted Islam. He came to a place of meeting. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told to Suhail that peace treaty is not yet signed and Abu Jundul had accepted Islam, so he's not bound by the terms and conditions of this agreement. So Suhail, being the father, he mentioned, no, that my son will be bound by this agreement. And the discussion carried on until Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Jundul that stay with the people in Makkah. So he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I accepted Islam, I'm being oppressed and persecuted, and you're sending me back to my oppressors. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Allah will open a way for you. And you will hear just now in what an amazing way Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala opened the way for him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signed the peace treaty. Now the challenging time came. Sahaba were upset. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, are we not on haq? Why do we have to submit so much? Why do we have to give in to so much of what these people want us to do? In the time of Jahiliyyah, we wouldn't let anybody take advantage of us. Why should they take advantage of us? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it's the order of Allah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala still enraged. He goes to Abu Bakr and makes the same complaint. Abu Bakr mentions that the Rasul of Allah gives the order of Allah. We simply have to go by that. Now the challenging time came for everybody to abandon their intention of Umrah and return to Medina Munawwara. To the Sahaba, this was like defeat. They were ready to take up arms. They were prepared to do anything. Before that, another very sensitive incident happened. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no, go to Makkah and meet the leaders of Makkah and tell them Islam is going to dominate. And there were Muslims that have concealed the Iman. Tell them soon Allah will bring victory to you. Umar mentioned, O Prophet of Allah, I'm not going to Makkah because these people don't like me there. Why don't you send Osman? People of Makkah like Osman from the time of Jahiliyyah. He was a well-liked personality. Osman radiallahu ta'ala goes there and conveys the message to people. And Aban ibn Sa'id gave refuge to Osman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Somehow the rumor went out that Osman radiallahu ta'ala has been killed. He has become shaheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were very upset. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the tree. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bay'at to avenge the death of Osman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to this. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. That Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala happy with those people who had taken bay'at on your hands under the tree. Finally, after taking bay'at with all the Sahaba, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his right hand, then took his left hand, put it on the right hand, and he mentioned that this left hand here, it represents the hand of Osman ibn Affan. Later on, the news came out that it was a rumor. Osman radiallahu ta'ala came back safely. Osman radiallahu ta'ala heard about the bay'at of Ridwan to avenge his life. And he heard that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his left hand the representative of the hand of Osman ibn Affan. So Osman radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that the left hand of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is far, far, far more superior than my right hand. This was the adab, the respect. In fact, when he was in Makkah Mukarramah, Aban ibn Sa'id told him, why don't you make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif? You are here, no obstacle for you. So Uthman ibn Affan mentioned, that can never happen. I will never make tawaf of the... For what purpose Nabi and Sahaba came? If the objective not fulfilled for everyone, I'm not going to take singular advantage of this and make tawaf of myself. He considered the adab and the respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Finally, the challenging time came now to open up the ihram. They're all still in the ihram. Nabi has signed the peace treaty. There's no way that they can move to Makkah. But they don't want to go to Medina either. They don't want to open up the ihram. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the Sahaba, that all of them are upset. They're not upset as upset, but upset in the sense with the kuffar, that why they have to give in to that to the demands of the kuffar. We are people of iman. We should be dominating, not that we should be dominated. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pacing up and down. And Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is there with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to her the predicament, what is happening. We can't go to Makkah. Only way is for us to go to Medina. We're in the state of ihram and we have to come out from ihram and we have to go to Medina. Umm Salma told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, you proceed. You remove the hair from your head, come out from ihram, Sahaba will have no option but to follow your way, because she knew the temperament of the Sahaba, she knew the thinking of the Sahaba, that the Sahaba would simply go by what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. And what counsel, what advice, mashwara she gave to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked perfectly well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out from his tent, removed his hair. Sahaba saw this, and Sahaba, everyone, they started cutting their hair, but because they were so angry, it is mentioned in the books, it was as though they would be cutting one another's heads out. Because they were just cutting out the hair, just in that state, because the anger was in them of why they can't proceed to Makkah Mukarramah. But because they have to come out from the state of ihram. From the fiqhi term, you call this ihsar. Ihsar means that if a person is proceeding to Makkah Mukarramah, you're in a state of ihram. And this may even happen, even it could happen in today's time, especially with the political climate that we are in. Sometime if somebody from Durban had to put on his ihram, and he wants to go from before the miqat, put on his ihram, and for some reason the plane has been diverted and said no landing rights in Jeddah. This has happened and that has happened. And you are not unable to go to Makkah Mukarramah in a state of ihram. What do you do in that situation? This is called ihsar. And the masla is, from wherever you are, you simply slaughter an animal in the haram. Now nowadays with communication, this was the law from that time, but nowadays because of communication, it becomes so easy, you phone somebody up to slaughter an animal for you in the haram. Once the animal is slaughtered, now you come out from the state of ihram, and then you remove your hair, you come out from the state of ihram. But if a person who was in such a situation, unable to proceed due to circumstances. Now, circumstances could be health-related situation, or you are being blocked by the enemies, or political-related, whatever the situation, you are unable to proceed. Now, if you came out from ihram, then you will return, but you will make qaza of that umrah. Just as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in a state of ihsar, he was prohibited, blocked from going to Makkah Mukarramah. He came out from ihram. But once you don an ihram, it is the right of the ihram that umrah be performed. And because Nabi Sassam did not perform that umrah, that the right of that ihram was not being fulfilled, that is why it had to be followed up the following year through umratul qaza. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba returned to Madinatul Munawwara. One sahabi, Abu Basir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was chained by the kuffar in Makkah Mukarramah. He let loose, he fled Makkah Mukarramah and he came to Madinatul Munawwara. He presented himself by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that You will have to go back. According to terms and conditions, shortly thereafter, they were represented from the Kufar of Makkah to come and fetch him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi told him, you have to go. Yet honor the terms and conditions. It's not like it's your person, your sahabi, that went through so much of difficulty and hardship to be sympathetic to him. Nabi Sallam was fully conscious of that, but on the other side, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew he had to honor that agreement to avoid any problem and any difficulties. So Abu Basir mentioned, Nabi Sallam, you're handing me over to a kuffar? Nabi Sallam mentioned, Allah will open the way for you. Abu Basir goes with his two bodyguards, or two captives, so to say. They come to Zul Hulayfa. They're eating some dates, some khajur. So Abu Basir, he told to one of them, you've got a very nice sword. Very nice, show it to me. So Abu Basir looks at the sword, inspects it, and he immediately exercised the sword on the owner of the sword. The other person saw, my turn is coming. He woke up and he ran away. So Abu Basir, after had fled and came back to Madinah Munawwara, and he mentioned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what happened. Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, you're going to cause a war. You're going to cause a war. Abu Basir realized that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to honor that agreement, and he's going to send him back to the Kufar of Makkah. So he went away from there. And he made his own way. He went to Sahil al-Bahar. He went to the coastal area and he settled up there. Abu Basir. Other Muslims who were weakened in Makkah Mukarrama, Suhail's son Abu Jundul was among them, and approximately 70-80 people who could not come to Medina because the terms and conditions of the peace treaty would not allow them to come to Medina, they went away to a coastal area and settled with Abu Basir. Now, this turned out to be a huge nightmare for the Kuffar of Makkah. Because they were traveling from Makkah, they were going to Sham, and they had to pass the coastal area. And every time they're passing by, Abu Basir, Abu Jundul, and his colleagues, they would attack the caravan left, right, and center, and made it a nightmare for these people. They could not even go to Sham. That had a huge impact on the economy of Makkah. Kuffar of Makkah wrote to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, that please tell Abu Basir and his colleagues that they're living in the Sahil area, in the coastal area, that they have permission to come to Medina, as long as that road is open for us to go to Sham. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote a letter to Abu Basir telling him, now you may come over to Medina. Abu Basir was on his deathbed, last moments of life. Great sacrifice he has made to live in Islam and to live on the values of Islam. He is on his deathbed. And he receives the letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He sees and reads the letter, a smile comes on his face, and the letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam falls on his chest. And in that way, he had passed away. This is in very, very brief, that incident of Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty. The following year, in the seventh year after Hijrah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the qaza of the Umrah, which is called Umratul Qaza. We make dua, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, give us tawfiq and hidayah to study more in detail the seerat, the biography of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to inculcate the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts. And through that, it makes it easier for us to be able to follow the laws of Sharia and to follow the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By body and mind, physically, we may be here, but our heart, soul, and mind should be in Madinah Munawwara, in the heart and mind of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah make us ardent followers and lovers of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.